A spike in gun violence in Portland that started last summer is showing no signs of slowing down. Now, the FBI has joined the fight to stop the shooting, just as the situation appears to have reached a boiling point that no one will officially label a gang war. Today, conversations with two Coin6 reporters. Liz Birch takes us inside the most recent eruption of gunfire that ended with police being called in to protect a hospital. First, reporter Jenny Young tells us why the FBI is here and explains what they can do to help. I'm Ian Costello. It is Thursday, May 20th, and this is Beyond the Headlines on the COIN Podcast Network. Jenny, we heard last Friday that the FBI is on the streets here in Portland to assist Portland police in their effort to reduce gun violence. But can you give me some specific examples here? Who did you talk to from the FBI, and what did they tell you about how specifically they're able to help Portland police?
So I talked to Special Agent in Charge, Kieran Ramsey, and we asked him, give us hard examples of how your agents are helping Portland police. You know, they had been saying you're just going to see a larger presence. Well, we really wanted to know, what does that look like? So he told me that over the weekend, last weekend, they had three agents out in the field with Portland police officers responding to every shooting. And then they had four agents back in the office waiting to respond if that shooting was gang related.
I gave them a couple of agents and task force officers to pair up with their enhanced community safety teams that would respond to shootings. So when they showed up, it was a Portland police officer alongside an FBI agent or task force officer. They would immediately determine, okay, is this retaliatory violence or gang related? If it is, you know, we're going to launch right from there. We had another team sitting back here at the office ready to roll out as well, so that if it was gang or retaliatory violence, they would launch as well, and then we would start the investigation right from there.
There were three shootings over the weekend in Portland. One was fatal, but the special agent in charge said that none of those were gang-related.
In the press statement released last Friday, and then again in a press conference on Saturday, May 15th, Portland police made reference to individuals and groups coming to Portland to commit violence. What have you learned about that intelligence? Did the FBI have it? And if so, how long have they had it?
We asked him about that because that was in the joint statement with the mayor and city commissioners, and the mayor and city commissioners aren't giving more information about that. And when I asked a special agent in charge, he said he wanted to refer me back to the mayor's office. However, he did say that they're always looking to see if there are players from outside the state, outside the region, coming here to commit serious violent crimes.
We're always looking for that, and we're always looking to seek to disrupt that, to prevent that, to make sure that that next shooting doesn't happen.
We did not go into the intelligence that they have. And like I said, he referred me to the mayor's office.
A lot of what we're hearing about in this recent, now almost year-long spike in gun violence is the idea that it is gang violence. What did the FBI have to say about that, specifically whether or not the overall increase in shootings and gun violence is directly related to gangs?
Well, when I was talking to the special agent in charge, he didn't have the numbers in front of him, but he did say that the number of shootings right now, a majority of those are retaliatory violence connected to gang violence.
We're looking at these incidents that are connected, that are believed to be gang violence, that are believed to be retaliatory violence. Whether, you know, these individuals that are being injured or killed are involved in the activity themselves, not necessarily the core concern for us. It's anybody getting hurt, anybody getting killed in this, you know, shooting back and forth.
And then he also sadly pointed out that some of these fatal shootings have been people who have been hit by stray bullets, people in the wrong place at the wrong time, and mistaken identity.
The special agent in charge with the FBI that you talked to lives here in Portland. Did he give you any indication about how he felt personally about what is going on here recently?
You know, I asked him how long he'd been in Portland, because that really does matter. How invested are you? And so he's only been here since January, but he did bring up the point that Portland is a place where people want to come visit. They think of it as, you know, a safe city, a nice city, a city with lots of things to do for tourists. And he said, this is not the Portland that people want to think of.
Portland, Oregon's not supposed to be this way. This is supposed to be a safe city. This is supposed to be a welcoming city. That was its reputation. That's what should be its reputation. And when we look at these numbers, it just should not be acceptable, especially when we think the high for homicides was 70 back in 1987. We're going to crush that number if we don't step in and do something now. And when I say we, I'm not just talking law enforcement. I mean, this is a very significant primary role for law enforcement to play in this, but it really needs to be through partnership between law enforcement agencies, and then certainly partnerships between law enforcement, community groups, faith groups, elected officials, you know, you name it, because it needs to be a whole of community effort to stem the tide here.
So the FBI is here almost exclusively as investigative support for Portland police. They aren't actually involved on the prevention side. They can't get involved in anything like traffic stops.
He told me the FBI doesn't routinely do traffic stops. It's not something that's in their wheelhouse.
It's not our authority to just conduct traffic stops. In terms of tactics used or needed for Portland Police or any other major department or law enforcement partner in the area, that's really up to them to decide what might be effective and what might not be effective. For us, it's investigations-based. So we're looking at the investigative, we call it an enterprise theory of investigations, making sure we can connect incidents or looking to connect incidents if there is a connection, obviously, and looking to connect individuals if there is a connection. And again, to break that cycle of violence, we call it disrupting a threat and hopefully ultimately dismantling some kind of criminal group or criminal organization, be it a gang or otherwise.
They're here to support. They're here to investigate. They are not here to be on the streets.
Correct. Other than Ian, I will say, they have been going out with officers when there is a shooting. So that does, you know, put them on the streets somewhat. But from what I gather, it is their resources, their investigative resources that Portland police are drawing from. So again, the moment that a shooting happens, there is no delay in investigation.
A shooting incident happens, you have any number of witnesses, you have forensics to do, you have subject interviews to make. All of those things require detectives, require investigators. I'm giving them a whole tranche of a team of agents, essentially, to help further those investigations, to cover those investigative leads, to do additional witness interviews, to perhaps take over subject interviews or do subject interviews in a joint manner. On top of that, there are other forensics that we can bring to the table that perhaps they don't have easy access to. If we talk hairs, fibers, fingerprints, DNA.
You mentioned it before, and we hear these reports from time to time that innocent bystanders are getting caught in the crossfire of this gun violence. But so far, it seems that local authorities, Portland police, and Portland city officials shy away from the term gang war. In your conversations with the FBI, are they calling this a gang war?
You're right. Portland leaders do shy away from the word gang. And I pointed that out to this FBI agent. And I said, the information we received from the mayor and the city council on Friday, when you're reading it, it reads as though there's a gang war in Portland. And he's being cautious to use that term. He did say it's been thrown out there before.
I don't want to disagree with some of our colleagues out there that would term it that. But look, there is a cycle of violence that's ongoing here. That is without question. There are retaliatory acts of violence that are connected and that we can see through any number of shootings.
They're looking to really break that chain of violence. The way they do that is remove these people, remove these individuals committing these shootings and taking the guns off the street that they're using.
When we come back, I talk to reporter Liz Birch about an eruption in violence just 4 days after the announcement that the FBI was here to help.
Hi, this is Jeff Giannola from Coin6 News, and I'd like to invite you to watch Coin6 News at 10 on Portland CW, a full hour of the stories that are important to you and your family. See why more people are switching to Coin6 News at 10 on Portland CW.
Hello, Coin6 News anchor Emily Burris here. We know your mornings are busy, and we want to help you be in the know as you head out the door. That's why the Coin Podcast Network is bringing you a brand new podcast called The Daily Six. Every weekday, we'll bring you the day's six biggest headlines in a quick and concise report, on demand and on your schedule. So check out the Coin Podcast Network on coin.com or have The Daily Six sent directly to you each day by subscribing to the Coin Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The Coin6 weather team has the most accurate forecast in town, certified by WeatherRate. Coin6 weather, watching out for you.
Coin6 reporter Liz Birch has been tracking Portland's spike in gun violence since last summer. I caught up with her just after she talked to Portland Police Lieutenant Greg Pashley about a shooting on Swan Island that landed four people in the hospital. Liz, you and I have been talking about the spike in gun violence in Portland and gun-related homicides in Portland over the last several months. As it stands here, mid-May, toward the end of May, can you tell me what the numbers look like?
Yeah, so I requested the shooting data from PPB on May 12th, and they responded saying there had been approximately 376 shootings altogether. There had been 121 people injured in shootings and 29 homicides. 21 of those were shooting related. I think we've already had two additional homicides since that information was released. It's clearly increasing quickly, but that was the data as of May 12th.
How did those May 12th numbers compare to last year at this time?
Last year, altogether, we had just under 900 shootings. And the year before that, it was just under 400. So we're talking only through May, we've already reached the total number for 2019 or close to it. What's really interesting, on Saturday, there was a press conference with both PPB Chief Lavelle and also with the FBI. And they were talking about the need to put the FBI on the streets to help deal with this gun violence. They were discussing imminent threats that they had heard could happen at vigils. And in that, they talked about how many homicides there have already been this year. So they said at the time, there were 31 homicides. So now we're talking Saturday. So there'd been two additional homicides from May 12th through this last Saturday, 23 of which involved gunfire. To give you perspective, they said by this time last year, there had only been four homicides. So we're talking a difference 23 by gunfire, 31 total this year compared to four total by this time last year. And the year before, it was even fewer. There were only three homicides by mid-May. So I think that perspective is important because we talk a lot about where we're at year to date. That number is really staggering and it's really sobering because you realize just how quickly it's increasing, particularly the homicides from gun violence.
And do we know how those numbers compare to a record year?
We have been talking a lot with PPB. It's tough because they don't have records going back indefinitely. And the way they kept those statistics are a little bit different. They're, you know, tracking them more closely now. But what I was able to discuss with PPB is they said last year, 56 was our most recent record. I mean, clearly a record no one wants to break. And the year before that, it was in the 30s. And if you look at the last decade or the last 20 years, kind of in the 20s and 30s seems to be what would be considered normal. So we're talking already being what would be normal for a total year, and we're only in May.
So there's obviously a problem. We've known since a press release came out late afternoon on Friday, May 14th, that the FBI is in Portland to assist Portland police with this huge spike in gun violence and homicide. But three nights later, on Monday night, things seemed to escalate, and we ended May 17th with Portland police surrounding a hospital. What happened Monday night?
In that press conference on Saturday, and following the statement you were talking about that they released on Friday, announcing that the FBI would be assisting PPB with this increasing gun violence, they said that there was a credible and imminent threat of gun violence in Portland. And when pressed on that, they explained that they believed that there could be shootings at vigils in Portland. Specifically in the press conference, they were talking about vigils for people killed by gun violence. So they were concerned that these groups, possibly even coming into the state from other states, would be targeting these vigils in some kind of retaliatory sense.
There was a shots call, and then about 10 minutes later, there were calls starting at the hospital. And the first one was a gunshot victim, and then pretty shortly after that, three more gunshot victims.
How we get to this massive scene at the hospital is a little bit complicated. They say there was these people who were gathered on Swan Island. Somebody came and shot four of those people. There were also bullets that hit tractor trailers and bullets that hit buildings. Those tractor trailers were occupied, but the people inside were not injured, fortunately. So those four people were taken to the hospital.
There's a tendency to flee, which is, I think, a natural response when the gunfire starts. When there's someone wounded, what happens on some occasions is people just transport their wounded friend to the hospital. So that happened, and others followed.
The way they put it was a big group of people showed up. At that point, they believe many of them were drunk. They say that they were reportedly armed, and they said that they were acting aggressively and violently and being combative with the hospital staff. And while all this was going on, they were holding up emergency room operations. And obviously, an emergency room needs to be able to operate smoothly and quickly, given the nature of what they're doing there. So that's when they called the police.
When officers got there, they realized that they had more than their hands full, that it was a confrontations between staff and people there. And so someone called for all available units to respond.
Fortunately, no one was actually injured in the hospital as a result of this group showing up. They were able to break it all up before anything like that happened. So there was no further violence at the hospital. What was interesting is the four people who were brought to the hospital initially, I asked police if they were at a vigil, and they said they believed they were. At some point, they referred to it as a bunch of people gathering after a wake. So after a wake or a memorial, some kind of group gathering that was related to a vigil. So I asked, you know, that's exactly what you were concerned about happening. That's exactly what you were talking about having these threats for. And they agreed. So it was kind of coming to light that that information that they had, that there could be these retaliatory shootings or some kind of shooting at a vigil, actually ended up happening.
We've got four people shot on Swan Island, none of them suffering life-threatening injuries, but we get to the scene at the hospital. The idea of a hospital being surrounded by police sounds very unusual to me. Was this an extraordinary step?
So when you look at those images from the hospital, I remember just seeing it on Twitter because I was off work at that point. But when you look at those images, it's clear it's a huge response. I know both of us have spent a decent amount of time at crime scenes, and that to me was really shocking to see. I did talk to police about when they have a response like this, how it ties up all of their units. I know it's something we've discussed with them before when we're talking about these riots that they have a large response to. At the same time, there's been multiple shooting scenes. It's a similar situation.
If all available officers are asked to come to an address down in inner North Portland, that necessarily means there's no one on the outskirts. There's no one on the, or not even on the outskirts, in the other inner parts of the city, because resources are drawn there. Now, every officer didn't necessarily make it onto the hospital property, but that response, if you're coming from far southeast Portland, for example, takes a while. And so it depletes our ability to do the kind of things that people want the police doing in their neighborhood, keeping them safe at night, responding to their calls that are emergencies or certainly important to them. And so it just takes away from that.
Let's go back to what happened at the scene of that shooting on Swan Island, Liz. Four victims, a lot of shots fired. If somebody were to ask me what a gang war looks like, what happened Monday night would certainly qualify as an answer, at least from me. Are Portland police willing to call this a gang war?
You know, it was interesting hearing Chief Chuck Lavelle refer to this as gang violence in his press conference, because I don't think that's a word I've actually heard him use. If he has, he doesn't say it very frequently. And it actually took reporters pressing him and asking him, is this group violence, are these retaliatory shootings gang related? And he said he thought it was. I have asked Portland police in the past if they think these are gang related instances, if they think this increase in gun violence is related to gangs, and they said yes as well. But it seems to be a term that city leaders are reticent to use.
They're shying away from the idea of calling it a gang war.
Right. I haven't heard them use the term gang war. I know that they have referred to gangs. It seems like they a lot more frequently will characterize it as retaliatory gun violence, group violence, kind of use words like that.
And as we stated at the beginning, we know the FBI is here in Portland to assist Portland police. Liz, you reached out to the FBI to get a better understanding of their role in helping in specific situations like that Monday night incident. What did they tell you?
They sent me a statement. They said, quote, an FBI agent embedded with the Metro Safe Streets Task Force responded with PPB officers to the shooting scene Monday night. Then they went on to say that their partnership with the PPB is to, quote, break the cycle of retaliatory violence. And that means holding the shooters responsible and getting guns off the streets. I also asked police about this new partnership with the FBI, how it's going. Clearly, the FBI is saying that they were there responding to that shooting Monday night where four people were shot and sent to the hospital. And they said the relationship is good, the partnership good. They said it definitely helps.
We're grateful for partnerships that we have with the FBI, Multnomah County, other law enforcement. It helps. You know, these are investigative measures, though. These are investigative resources. What we're not offering much of is much by the way of prevention, because of our limited staffing right now. It's difficult to be the places that we need to be as often as we wish we could be.
From their characterization, it's helpful, but it's not the whole picture. It's not everything they need.
That will do it for us today. Thank you for listening to the COIN Podcast Network. We will talk to you soon.
Hi, this is Jeff Giannola from COIN6 News, and I'd like to invite you to watch COIN6 News at 10 on Portland CW. It's our award-winning newscast, 1 hour earlier at 10 o'clock. A full hour of the stories that are important to you and your family from the news team that's watching out for you. Plus, Portland's most accurate forecast certified by WeatherRate from Chief Meteorologist Natasha Stenbach. See why more people are switching to COIN6 News at 10 on Portland CW. Watching out for you.